Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
How are you guys doing after that video? I was just at a meeting 2 weeks ago and I saw that video for the first time, and I noticed the man behind me was broke down in tears. It's a powerful thing to see and to hear what is happening in the lives of refugees, and I think that video captures that for us. So who went on the experience of displacement yesterday? About 25. I really encourage you to do that. Today, we want to focus on the experience of the journey. Look at what refugees go through. Yesterday, we looked at the perspective of the refugee from the scriptures. Today, we want to look at the perspective of the refugee experience from the refugees themselves. And tomorrow, we're going to look at the ministry, the perspective, so to speak, from our standpoint. So that's where we're going with this. My colleagues are here today. Yesterday I asked them to raise their hands and no one was here. But if you could put the video, the webpage up, our organization, a few people were not quite clear who we were and who we were with. We're with the International Association for Refugees. It's a big word, and we actually love that because it sounds really official and like we are in command all over the world, but we're not. We're very small. And there's almost half of us right here. Could you guys just stand so people can see? And I hope to ask Sharon a little bit later to come up and share with us as well a story. But I want to give just a reflection as well. You know, we're looking at the experience of refugees. And I think in order to really connect with someone else's experience, it's important to connect with our own. And I think when I think about this ministry that I've been involved in for all these years, suddenly, for most of the time, most of our ministry, up until 2 years ago, this was just on the sort of the outskirts, on the margins of what the church was doing, thinking about forcible displacement. Oh, that's what the governments do. But these are issues that really are issues of the heart and really affect people at the core of their being. And that's what we do, and that's what we are involved in as refugees as well. And so I think to really connect well in this ministry, and I believe in any kind of ministry, we need to be connecting with our own experience as well. And so I have always, as I go through my ministry, I'm always asking myself, you know, what are you working in my own heart, Lord, through this and what I see you doing in other people's lives? What are you doing in my life right now and where I am? And I would just say, for me, one of the things that's been hard is to face the enemy who would disqualify me from ministry for whatever reason, because I'm not like the pastor, I'm not like the missionary, I'm not like this organization. But the enemy so wants to disqualify us from ministry. And so I encourage you to go the distance. Just stay in there, in that difficult, whatever it is you may be facing in your own experience as you look at what God is doing and where he's calling you to. Don't turn your head to that, but face it head on, because the Lord is going to be with you. And I say that because we want to look at the experience of refugees. And it's really, I have to do, whatever I do, I have to tag it to scriptures. I have to really plug it into scriptures. So yesterday we looked at the scripture there related to the biblical perspective. And today we want to look at Mark chapter 4. Because I believe this is not about refugees, but I believe it really helps us to understand this experience a little bit. And actually, we're going to look at almost 1.5 chapters. beginning in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, all the way through chapter 5, all the way to the end. Now, I'm not going to read all of that. We don't have time. But I do want to just read a few highlights, and so I hope I can refer to those verses as we come along here. So beginning at verse 35, Jesus has just finished, or Mark has just finished talking about the teaching of the parable of the seed and so forth. And now he launches into four stories about what Jesus is doing. And I believe these stories help us to understand the experience of refugees. And I'm remembering that there was a refugee once before. You can get this on in your scriptures. I want to tell you a story about a refugee named Justin. And Justin was from the middle of Africa. And his father was murdered as a politician, and his life as the son became endangered as well. He had two children, and it became so serious that he had to flee also in the night, just suddenly like that. And so he said, I'll flee to the neighboring country, and I'll wait till things calm down, and then I'll go back. Well, he ended up in the neighboring country, and he was targeted again, but this time just by a local gang who knew he was vulnerable. And he had a job working as a security guard in a company. And they said, we want you to take part in our plot to kidnap the manager and bribe him. And he wouldn't do that. And so they threatened his life again. And so he had to flee once again. And so he said, where in the world will I go? He said, I'll go to Northern Africa. I can get a job there. So he had his documents with him. And he went to Northern Africa, a long journey all the way up there. And he began living there and trying to find a job. And it's very common this was before the Arab Spring, and they would do routine checks of sub-Saharan Africans who are much darker skinned than North Africans. And they checked him, and he showed his documents. He was legal, but they tore it up, destroyed his documents. So he had no documents, and so next time he would be checked, he would be, quote, illegal. And it was often the case in that country. They would put people just randomly into detention. And then they would be sold to smugglers and trafficked back across parts of Africa in order to pay the smugglers once again to travel to safety somewhere else. So he knew he had to get out of there, and he paid a smuggler and boarded a boat to Europe, and that's where I met him. And he said, I struggle to this day with the knowledge, this experience that I've gone through. And the question, you know, should I have stood up? You know, am I a weak person? Should I have stood up to the people that have wanted to kill me, like my father did? You know, he stood up for what he believed as a politician, and it cost him his life. And so he struggled with the guilt that he carried with him throughout this experience. And so as we read Mark chapter 4, I think it gives us, there are several things that we can point to in this that helps us to understand the experience. And these are four stories that really hang together. And so starting in verse chapter 4, it's on that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let's go across to the other side. So they got in the boat, and there was a storm that came, and the disciples grew afraid, and Jesus was asleep on the stern of the boat. And they woke him in verse 39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Because they were filled with fear. And the disciples looked at each other and said, who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey him? And so then, beginning with verse 1 in chapter 5, it says they came to the other side. And there they met a man who had been living in the tombs. In fact, it was so extreme. This man, he was full of an unclean spirit. And he was so oppressed and rejected by the local village that they would even bind him with chains, Mark says. And nothing, he says, nothing could hold him in verse 4. And when he saw Jesus, the Spirit said, why are you persecuting me and leave me? And so Jesus casts the unclean spirits out, and the pigs run down the hill and over. The spirits go into the swine, and they run down the cliff and into the sea. And so the herdsmen go into the village and tell what's happened. And they come back, and they see all this. And in verse 18, it says, they saw the man sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And so Jesus then gets back in the boat, and he goes back to the other side, and there he gets out of the boat. And the woman who had been ill for over 12 years and had tried everything to find a healing, knew that if I could just touch Jesus' cloak, I would be made well. And she touched his cloak, and Jesus, feeling that the power had gone out from him, turned to ask, "Who was it that has touched me?" And his disciples said, "Who? What do you mean? You know, this crowd, anyone could have touched you." And Jesus wanted to know. And so the woman came and fell at his feet in fear and trembling. And she said, and what had happened, and Jesus said, "You're healed, be at peace." And so he continued on with Jairus, whom he had also met. And he walked into the room where Jairus' daughter had already passed away. And he spoke, and he woke the girl, and she rose and came back to life. And Jesus said, "Give her something to eat." And Jesus, in going there to that house, he also spoke to them and said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." And so here we have these four stories that really hang together. And so the first thing about the journey that we can, the experience that we need to understand, is that this is like a journey. And that's really important for us to realize what is happening in our lives, these places that we go and the questions we run into, the crises we run into. These things are happening for a reason. And God is in control, and they hang together. And God is using these things as we go along. And Mark is so good at that, to show how Jesus is alive and well and acting right in the moment. Immediately they arrived on the other side. And can you imagine these disciples thinking, "Jesus, we were just on the other side. Why do we go back now to the other side?" There's a sense of chaos, a sense of what is happening and why is all this happening? And Mark, for some reason, puts these stories together. And so often we study them and learn them individually. But I think the first thing that we can remember about the refugee journey and our lives as well is that things are happening in connection to one another. And God knows what that connection is. And so as we go along our journey, we can ask the question, "Where am I now, Lord? Where am I now, and how are you using that in my life?" And Justin illustrates that for me as well. So Justin, when he traveled up to Northern Africa, he had to pass through the desert. And he said, I was the third man back in about a group of 50 people. It took 10 days to pass over the border. And some died along this journey. And I'll never forget one night, we came into a place where we rested for the night. And I took my New Testament out, and I read in Psalm 136, where the Lord says, "He was with the Israelites as they wandered through the desert." And he said, I thought to myself, if the Lord was with them then, he is with me now in my wilderness experience. And he connected with what he read in the scriptures. And he realized where he was, and that where he was, God was with him. And he said, "I'll never forget that place. It was a small hill with a tree and a road running through the valley and an oasis in it." And God met him in that place. And God will meet us where we are in our journey. So if yesterday we asked the question, "Who am I?" so important to refugees, this second question is really important. Where am I? And that's a question we can identify with. But secondly, this passage from Mark, I think it's important as a whole because it really introduces us and calls us to remember that this is dealing with all of life. This covers the whole spectrum of life. And so we see here where the disciples face their powerlessness on the sea. They face the inhumanity of the man forced to live among the dead. They see the woman suffering in her illness, and they see the Jairus in his grief. And so these stories help us to face the whole spectrum of life. And Justin as well, especially at sea and in the desert, refugees face death more than ever before. And this has such a power over them and so influences them. And Justin shared that he, on his boat, six people died. Some of the elements, and one person died by committing suicide. And when you hear these experiences of the refugees on the boats, it's amazing the number of people who will commit suicide because of what they're confronted with, and this death that they're confronted with in their limited life, and their sense of powerlessness, and their sense of hopelessness, and the sense of all they see is nothing but dark, 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 dark. And that's a quote from a refugee. And so Justin, he said, you know, in fact, anyone that would tell me there is no God, that man is dead already. And I never heard it quite expressed like that. Normally we think if someone is struggling and has a sense of there is no God, then, you know, that's a crisis for them, but not the idea that they are dead already. Justin was bringing to this perspective his experience. He is traveling this journey with the Lord. And this is a perspective that we need to bring and have with us and join with us in our communities. It is so important because there's one thing about all of these stories that we all identify with, and that is our fear. Right? We have this in all of these stories. All of them face fear. And I remember one refugee who was traveling in France and living in some of these tent places in the rough that I perhaps told you about yesterday. And I asked her, as a woman, how do you do this? It's really dangerous as a woman. And she said, well, I am afraid all the time, but I pray every day. And Sharon, if you could just come up, because this is a huge issue that we face, refugees face. And so I think in understanding this experience, what we want to take with us is just the realization that these are people just like us. I think that's why this ministry is so important, is that this is not mainstream ministry, but this is everyday life. This is not transactions that are happening by professional, large ministries. But this is what you and I do when we get to know a human being one-on-one. We realize that they're dealing with fears just like we deal with fears. And that's what we can take away from Mark in this scripture. And so I just ask you to share that story.
Okay, hello. My name is Sharon, and I work with refugee families in Clarkston, in nearby Atlanta. One story that I wanted to share is a family from Syria, and they were recently resettled here in December, and they didn't want to come to America. They were so fearful of Christians. So just like I've heard a lot of Christians who are fearful of Muslims, they are fearful of Christians. And then things changed when they came to America. They didn't have a choice but to come to America either. Well, their choice was to stay in Egypt and continue to be refugees there or be resettled in America. So they chose to come to America for their children's future. And I didn't know them, but they kept texting me and sending me messages, and they called me like, hey, we heard a lot about you, Sharon. Would you please come to our house? We just want to meet you. So I came and visited them and started talking to the family through an interpreter, and they shared with me how they were so fearful of Christians and that their view of Christianity was changed when they came to America and started meeting Christians. That so for some reason, my name always comes up with the Syrian community in Clarkston, and that is a blessing from God. And so they would call me, and I don't even know them. And so I would come and visit their house. So this specific family, they were fearful of Christians. And then right after, and then the executive order came, which was not helpful. And then, a Monday after that, the leaders from my church sent me a text message saying, Sharon, we have a ministry women's ministry for this evening, would you please bring women from Clarkston? And I said, well, you know, there are people from our church who said negative things about refugees and about Muslims, and I am fearful for their safety and protection. And, you know, my church leaders were like, they told me that we're going to make sure that they will be safe and protected. So 15 women from Syria came with me, and five other women from Africa. And the first time that they have been to my church, I go to Passion City Church, and they were just really welcomed well by the church leaders. And for the first time, they were able to meet a ton of women, Christians. And then there was a ministry called The Grove, wherein we, all the women from all over Atlanta, were invited to, you know, make come and shop. And these women from Clarkston were allowed to shop and choose whatever they want, like slightly used clothing that are really, really nice. And then even the leaders at my church were, you know, following them. They were they had like shopping, shopping assistant. And it was their first time to experience that, you know, coming from a Christian community. And so it really made a huge impact to the refugee families, the refugee women who some of them have never met Christians and have never been to a Christian church.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. You can just put it back there. Thank you. What I take from that, and the important thing to take from that, is that the connection that she made was so important in helping them to overcome their fear. And likewise, we play an important role as we are ministering, as we are in touch with people. And I think that what the journey is doing with refugees is it is showing them a new way. So these folks are learning a new way through their connection. Just like the woman who said, I'm afraid every day, but I pray every day. Her journey, the journey that she is on, is showing her a new way. And if there's one thing that I'd encourage you to take from this, is to ask ourselves, where am I? What is defining me in my life? And let our desire for Jesus, our desire for Christ, become our passion. And until this desire becomes greater than our fears, we'll never reach our goals. We'll never complete our journey. And the devil, Satan, is so about having us end our journey in the middle of the sea somewhere where all we see is dark, dark, dark. But don't let it happen. Make your desire greater than your fear. And so the fourth thing, the final thing that these stories call us to, they call us to action. They call us to be like that man who was healed from the unclean spirits. They were sent from him, and as Jesus got in the boat to go, he ran up to Jesus and he said, "Let me go with you. I just want to be with you." And Jesus said, "No, I want you to go back home to your people and tell them all that God has done and the great mercy that the Lord has shown." That man's desire was finally greater than his fear. And the Lord used that, and I'm sure he used it powerfully. Amen. And let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, the reminder in these stories that we are on a journey just like those we minister to. And this is not a journey where transactions happen, but this is a journey where life happens. And you are with us on every step of the way. And so we pray for everyone on this journey, all the refugees around the world. We pray, God, that you will meet them in this journey, that their desire would be greater than their fear, and that most of all, they would connect with your people and with you as Savior. So we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And you're dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.